I will admit, I haven't had gum since, I think, 2002.
Now, how would you know that?
Yeah, 2002.
Like, I mean, come on. At least I know I never have had coffee or gum. But you know the year you stopped chewing gum? That's ridiculous. That's more ridiculous.
This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a beautiful Monday morning, August 14th, 2017. I'm Eric, he's Tristan, and we got Kyle the Monster, Mike the Producer, and Leo the Editorial Watchdog as well. Lots to discuss, Tristan. It was a huge fantasy baseball weekend.
It certainly was. Let's start positive, right? It was all good news, all of it, really.
Yeah, the top 10 player didn't really get hurt for the rest of the regular season. And
just talk about the way that the weekend ended. It was young players doing great. It's all great.
That was a fun game last night.
They beat my team. Oh.
Beat your team. Your team should get into the wild card game, but watching managers mangle bullpens, I love that. I don't change any of you. No. Don't use Kimbrel until later. Yeah, you got plenty of time. No one else will blow the save. It's
okay. Save him for a save chance. Oh, wait. But too many Dante Fuentes as it is this weekend.
Were there?
There were a lot of them, yeah.
Oh, we'll get to that when we get to the closer carousel. Lots to get to today, including a key injury. Here is the buzz. When you saw the Bryce Harper slide off first base, okay, my first thought was that's it for his season. And the results came back off the MRI on Sunday, and we don't have a lot of clarity here, Tristan, which I would argue is, I don't want to say it's definitely worse, but in a way it is. Like, if you knew that Harper was definitely not playing the final 6 weeks, you would drop him. You would pick up somebody else. And even if it looks ridiculous to pick up like Eddie Rosario for Bryce Harper, at least you'd have clarity. You would know. But we don't know. So now Harper owners that are contending have to basically wait. And we're not going to have an answer on when he's playing, I don't think, for at least like a month. I personally don't think we're seeing him until late September. But if you're in a 10-team standard league, and let's say for the argument that your DL slot is being used, maybe it's Kershaw or Paxton or somebody like that, do you keep Harper on your bench?
Well, you just outlined the scenario by which I would let Harper go. And that is, you own Kershaw or Paxton or somebody who's that good and we know is going to return on a sooner timetable. That said, Paxton's actually missing 3 weeks from my understanding, so that's debatable.
Well, look, it's a bone bruise on Harper. It didn't tear any ligaments, at least today. Sometimes these things change and you find out the next day, oh, actually, we did find something. Yeah. I can't believe the Nationals, who are pretty much locked into the number two slot in the National League and they've won their division already, why they would risk anything on Harper except for like mid-September. And by then, it might be too late for a lot of you. If you can keep him on your bench or to your DL slot, you obviously do it, but I wouldn't expect meaningful numbers here. And I think it's kind of important to talk about the Nationals outfield because, you know,
Lineup, too.
Maybe we're going to go in different directions here. I look at the Nationals and I think they've got guys that can play. I mean, they've been leading off with Brian Goodwin, and he's been doing fine. He's got 20 runs scored in the last 30 days. That's fine. Michael Taylor's already a double-double guy for home runs and stolen bases. The left field platoon, and it's not really a platoon, of Howie Kendrick and Adam Lind, they're both hitting like 350. So I would argue here that the Nationals will be fine. They're not going to just start going on a losing streak. Do you think that there's some lineup things here that are coming into play that'll hurt like Murphy and Rendon, or is that what you're getting at?
No, it's more that I think that Trey Turner is going to be coming back at some point fairly soon. So that's another one we didn't mention about DL eligible players who you'd keep ahead of Bryce Harper. I wonder whether that's going to deepen the lineup, because my biggest issue with it is that, yeah, Goodwin's leading off, but he's not a natural leadoff man because of the on-base percentage. Trey Turner would probably be a better fit once he returns, and that would probably make up some of the shortcomings. Goodwin reminds me a lot of Michael Taylor. He really does. They have very similar, I think, raw traits here. So if both guys are playing, they're worse choices to fill in. They're worse choices.
Something that just dawned on me, and I didn't put this in today's blog entry because I just thought of it right now, literally. What if, like, Wilmer Defoe keeps playing really well in the number two slot and at shortstop, and Turner comes back and plays center? Like, that seems like it could happen. Because, right? I mean, because Devo's playing well. He's getting on base. He's doing what they want a number two hitter to do. There's an old school manager. He doesn't want a guy in the number two slot to hit for power. He wants Wilmer Devo. So there it is. Turner comes back. I still think he doesn't come back until September. But then you can play like some combination of Taylor and Goodwin in right field. I'm just thinking aloud here. Like, I could see that happening. The bottom line is the Nationals are not going to rush Turner or Harper back. And right. Daniel Murphy's clearly not playing every day for the rest of the season. Like, he's going to play 3 out of 4 days. Like, they're going to keep it easy on him. So,
and it makes sense, too, especially when you have guys like Defoe who can fill in for him.
Yeah.
That's an interesting idea of moving him to center field. The only thing is, obviously, I'll watch the beat reporters now to talk about how Turner in his workouts, whether he is getting some outfield reps, because he's done the full throwing now. I've heard that, and that's as an infielder.
All right, and then the second part of the Bryce Harper thing that I wrote about today, and I want to get your slant on it, is this will be the fourth year out of six that he doesn't play in at least 140 games. Now, this injury could have happened to anybody, and it does happen to anybody, and we've seen a lot of major injuries this season. Is Harper still a top 10 player for you in next year's drafts?
Yeah.
The injury question is also the lack of stolen bases, which I think affected Machado.
Bases. Yeah, the lack of stolen bases is bothersome. The other thing, too, is how his seasons have been MVP caliber, and I mean like far and away MVP caliber, and kind of ordinary. So the range of outcomes he's provided us over the 5 years, putting aside the injury question, bothers me. Now, I still would probably put him in my first round, but he's not going to be one of the leading guys. I would have thought of him as a top five overall pick if this had proceeded without any issue. But remember what happened after his MVP year the last time. Next year he was a disappointment.
What does that mean? That's not predictive of anything.
It's not, but I mean, it's your comfort zone in selecting players like this. Giancarlo Stanton falls into this too. I mean, he's put up a couple of really exciting years, and then you've got the injury risk with him. I mean, they're not exactly equal, but do you feel comfortable spending a top five overall pick knowing that there are guys like Arenado and Altuve and Trout who are trustworthy?
No, but are you implying that you would take Stanton over Harper next year?
No.
Okay. So Harper feels like to you like a borderline top 10 overall, and Stanton feels like to me like 15 to 20 overall.
I think Harper feels 8-ish. I think he's probably going to make it into the cut for top 10.
I mean, I would say right now my top tier of hitters, Trout, Altuve, Goldschmidt, Blackman.
No Arenado?
Yeah, Arenado, who, by the way, got hit by a pitch yesterday on the hand, which is very scary.
Yeah.
And they're saying it's no big deal, but Andrew Knapp had, you know, had x-rays and MRI on his hand a couple weeks ago, and they said he was fine, and 3 days later he was in the DL and it was broken. I hope everything's okay with Arenado because he's a wonderful player. And note that Ryan McMahon was called up from the minor leagues on Friday, started at first base on Sunday, can obviously play third base and if necessary. I expect that'll happen today. But for now, I mean, let's assume that if you own Arenado, you don't have to make a move. He's not going on the disabled list or anything like that. But don't be shocked, you know, if word comes out later today that he does need a DL stint. I mean,
I hate the change of course, like, hours later.
Well,
original MRI,
know.
It's fine. And then, yeah, oh, you know what? We found something a little bit more. I hate that.
I hate that, too. And it happens all the time. You know,
that was, to be clear on that one, though, they're bad luck injuries for both players. I don't want to be applying the injury label to guys who, Harper's injury was bad luck. Arenado's injury was bad luck.
Well, were all the Stanton injuries the last 5 years bad luck?
A good number of them were, yes.
Okay.
But he also does have bumps and bruises that warrant discussion.
All right. Yeah, no, I mean, so you would take Arenado over Harper next year? I think I would.
Yes.
But
I might have done that anyway. I mean, Arenado's been...
Yeah, I don't. That's my point is, I don't think anything that happened with our Harper this weekend really moves the needle for me on how I view his long-term prognosis.
Mm-hmm. It just makes it very difficult to judge what to do. So I'll give you the other example, taking it from the ESPN 10-team leagues and Tout Wars 12-team NL-only league. I could let him go and cash him in for the FAB, which would be 390, 39 times 10.
Who would you pick up?
If somebody got traded over, I'd recommand the board.
Yeah, but nobody's getting traded now that's that valuable.
Jay Bruce did.
Okay. Did you want Jay Bruce?
No, but that would be unquestionably worth the 390 in FAB. That's where the Harper injury and judging the length of absence comes into play.
Okay.
I'll probably keep Harper around.
So Neil Walker was traded from the Mets to the Brewers, and, you know, for a player to be named, not a big move there. But to me, this signifies the possible end of Jonathan Villar as a relevant fantasy option. And he's still owned in quite a few leagues because of what he did last season and on threat of stolen bases, and he had a decent weekend. But, I mean, won't Walker play more than Villar the rest of the season?
I have to think so, yeah, health willing, sure.
I mean, that's one of the signature busts. I mean, I'm going to look and see where what round
he's
he
a signature bust, and can you see him even being a... I mean, if he's a top 250 player, it's just because of the stolen bases, and the rest of it's ugly.
He was number 35 in ESPN's ADP this season. And as of now, I mean, he's good. He does have 21 stolen bases, but 223, power went away, patience went away. Ugh, what a mess. And
how
he's eligible
are they...
at three spots. I just don't know how he's going to even matter next year. I mean, obviously, Neil Walker's not, you know, so great himself, but, like...
Walker did play third with Villar at second yesterday. How they're going to
shuffle
between the
two? Travis Shaw was hurt for a day. I think Walker's their guy in the middle.
Villar is second base only for next year.
Yeah, I think that's the end. Wow, and that's how fast things change. And you could have said, oh, I knew all along he was going to stink this year. You didn't know all along. I mean, we thought, and he was on my bust list, but I thought, okay, 250 with 40 steals. Like, he's not even going to come close to that.
The 40 steal streak is over.
Amazing. 21 steals for this guy. And he's been on base enough where he could have stolen more bases.
Just... Speaking of which, you know who's probably going to extend that streak and now have the lead?
What are you?
40 plus steal professional seasons. The active consecutive streak.
Hamilton, Rajai.
Hamilton.
Yeah.
I
mean, Hamilton's already at like 49. There's just not a lot of stolen bases out there. I mean, right? I mean, D. Gordon and Hamilton are already at 40. Is anyone else going to make it to 40 steals this year? There's got to be some kind of record for fewest guys to make it to 40 steals in a season. Mm-hmm. Trey Turner's at 35. I don't know if he makes it. Gerard Dyson needs 12 more. He doesn't even play enough. Altuve's not stealing 14 more bases. So that's it.
Let's pick our guys then. Who's getting in?
Who's getting in?
Give me your list. Who's getting into the 40 club who's not in it now?
Nobody. This is it. Hamilton and Gordon.
You think that's it? None.
None. And again, like, I don't know, maybe there's been a season recently, but, I mean, last year more than two guys made it for 40 steals, right? I mean, Rajai had 40 last year. I think there were, like, five, and Nunez got there. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Marte was there. VR obviously was there. I don't even think D. Gordon made it because he was out half the season. But the point is, two guys stealing 40 bases, and we're going to have 20 guys hitting 40 home runs.
I think Turner makes it in there, and I do think one more has a shot, and I think it's going to be either Dyson or Maben.
Okay. Yeah, Cam Maven needs.
But you're right. It could
more.
Be two. It could be.
And there's just so few stolen bases. I mean, that's where we're at.
We could have 60, 50, 38, and then barely anybody at 30 after that. That's even an even bigger story.
Yeah, I mean, how many guys are already at 30 home runs? It's eight guys, including and a couple guys are at 29, Bruce and Harper. So Harper may not even make it to 30 yet. But, I mean, Aaron Judge probably won't hit 50 home runs now. Stanton should. So there's more guys that are going to hit 40 home runs than 40 steals. A lot more guys, like maybe 15 to 2. But
boy, the homer things. Mike Moustakas trying to he's going to set the Royals record.
Any Royal ever hit 40?
No, Balboni, 36 and 85, I think it was.
What a year for Moustakas, huh?
Uh-huh.
Tremendous numbers.
Yep.
And by the way, Aaron Judge may not have that Rookie of the Year locked up. I mean, Ben Nintendi had a huge weekend. He had two three-run homers on Saturday. Knocked in a run last night. I think he had 9 RBI in the series against the Yankees. I mean, he looks a lot better. And people could say, well, you didn't say that earlier in the year. No, I didn't. But what's happened of late is changed kind of everything. He's raised his batting average 20 points in the past 2 weeks. Every game is like a multi-hit game. He has, he had three homers alone this weekend. He had a streak where he stole a base in five out of 6 days. He stole a base. What's he doing? Now he's at 16 homers, 14 steals.
You know, massive terror lately.
Yeah, I mean, he just changed his whole season recently. All right, we're wasting time.
Have you checked the paces on him, though? Because they still are within range of what we were discussing in the preseason.
2020.
279, 22 homers, 19 steals.
That's a good season. That's a top 20 outfielder, but is that a guy you'd put in your top 10 outfielders for next year? I think you have to make the case.
I think you can make the case. I think the numbers game is going to push him into the 11 to 20s, but I think you got to put him there with confidence. The thing that's a big plus for him was adapting quickly to 2 and 3 in the order, which is fueling the runs in RBI. That was the big difference. We were curious whether he would. He did. I think we got to declare that he did. He adapted.
I think we call his season a success. I don't think it's vastly over expectations.
No,
right?
I don't think we can do that. The part that's exceeding expectations is thriving in the three hole.
We must have had some combo meals this weekend.
Hey, it's a combo meal! Combo! It's a combo meal! A home run!
two of them on Sunday. One was Steven Souza Jr. of the Rays, who's having a nice year, 25 home runs, 9 stolen bases, batting average is fine, 261. There was a lot of risk that he would hit like 210 or 220. Steven Souza, is he a top 20 outfielder to you, or close to it?
My gut tells me no, he's not, but every time I look at him, the case is not difficult to make. The batting average will be the question. He probably doesn't make my top 20 for next season.
But he's going to end up with like 30 home runs and like 13 steals. That's a good season.
Yeah, but it's also not, I mean, we just mentioned the scarcity of stolen bases compared to home runs. The home runs aren't quite as valuable as they once were. The steals are what I'm more, what catches my eye.
Matt Joyce had one yesterday. We're not talking about him. He said a bad thing. On Saturday, Ryan Braun and Eric Thames, teammates on the Brewers. You know, Braun is probably not going to be a top 10 outfielder in next year's drafts. And he's been for the last decade, I would assume. I don't know off the top of my head. And he's still a very productive player, 295 batting average. He's missed a lot of time with injuries, of course, this season. They would love to trade him away, but they're contending, so they can't. Braun's not – I mean, Braun or Benintendi next year? Who would you rather have in a draft?
I personally would rather have Benintendi.
Because of the future.
Yeah, and the fact that, I mean, the guy has made it. I also think that there's a much better likelihood he's giving you 20 more games, maybe more than that. Maybe the difference is greater.
Braun or Bellinger? Cody Bellinger had a
Oh, Bellinger by
Saturday.
A lot, don't you think?
Well, wait a second. I mean, what are you doing with Braun then? I mean, like, how far are you dropping Ryan Braun in next year's rankings? This year he had to be, top, he was number 40. So, I mean, is he leaving the fifth round now?
I think there's a good chance he will. I think.
Well, what happened to make that happen? Like, why would all of a sudden?
Aging, the injury question, right. The curve's going to continue to go downwards over time.
All right, as it does for all of us.
Did we mention Bellinger had one?
Yeah, Cody Bellinger had one on Saturday as well.
Ties for the lead for the season.
He has 4 this year?
He has 4, and the other one with 4 is Steven Souza.
So he has 4, but he has only 8 steals. So basically when he runs, he also makes sure he does something else. And we have to talk about the other guy. This is on Friday night, and he is the number one player on the player radar over the past 7 days. And it's not Giancarlo Stanton, and it's not Benintendi. It's the guy I mentioned earlier on the show replacing Bryce Harper. And you know, it might seem like that should be against some rule, but Eddie Rosario is playing well. Yeah. And Kepler, they're hitting home runs. Rosario is up to 16 homers. He's batting .296 without any semblance of plate discipline. He has 5 steals in the season, so not a big base stealer. But he has scored a run in, what, his last 8 games, does that say? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
5 home runs in the last week. So Eddie Rosario's hot all of a sudden. So good for him.
Juice in the orange is a perfectly adequate stopgap strategy.
So, I mean, we didn't tell people who to replace Harper with, but, I mean, Eddie Rosario, I think, is probably at the top of that list for me. Now, it depends. Like, there's guys like Joey Gallo and Odubel Herrera and Dexter Fowler that are still available in, like, half ESPN standard leagues. We assume they're not available in, I don't want to assume anything. I don't know. Maybe they are available in the league.
Right.
Aaron Hicks might be available in the league. I'd rather have Aaron Hicks than Rosario. But take a look and see who's available in your league. I mean, Brian Goodwin's a decent pickup. If you own Harper, you probably need power. Dave Peralta can hit for that.
That's why I'm leaning towards the Keplers and the Rosarios, as you had mentioned there. I also threw Hunter Renfro. I was trying to go to the out there in at least 4/5 of ESPN League, so 20% lower. Would you add one of these guys, though, and let Harper go if you're in a head-to-head, though? That's the other wrinkle we didn't...
You know what? It's different for every league. I don't have any shares of Bryce Harper, I'm pretty sure. I looked through my teams when it happened. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, like, I know in my NL only, I mean, there'd be nothing to replace him with. In my 10-team mix, there'd be tons. You know, Rosario's out there, Jose Perella. Nobody owns Keon Broxton, probably. In my 16-team league, I don't know what the Harper owner did. I haven't seen it yet, but, I mean, there's not going to be a lot available there. It all depends on what your rules are. So.
Right. But the head-to-heads are when he's going to come back for key playoff weeks, if he comes back.
Man, I can't imagine he's back this time in September. I can't imagine he's back. It's got to be at least 4 weeks.
Don't you think they give him the treatment of simply get him ready for the postseason, give him a couple of games, get the swing fresh for the playoffs? That's all that they care about?
I really think you can drop him, but anyway.
At least in Dynasty Leagues, it's about the best news we could expect.
And by the way, for those in Dynasty Keeper formats, if you're out of it, and there's a league where I'm out of it right now, look at guys you can keep for next year. Look at guys with future value. And one of the places I love to do that with is with potential closers. I remember the year Craig Kimbrough came up in September for the Braves, and I just picked him right up in my league, and then I owned him for the next 7 years until I traded him foolishly this offseason. But today in one of my leagues, I picked up Archie Bradley. To me, that's an obvious guy who I think is a closer next season, who is just available in a ton of leagues right now. And the other one we're going to get to right now when we do our closer carousel.
The closer carousel.
Hildenberger, the Twins. Looks like he's their new closer. But you can't really tell because Belial was terrible on Saturday. So who would you rather? I mean, you're going to say Hildenberger. I mean, but you don't know what Molitor's doing there, right? I mean, we don't know who's the closer.
I still lean towards don't want either one of them in an ESPN standard league, but I like your bringing up Hildenberger. That was the sleeper name that we had thrown here after that trade. I'd like to see them give him a shot. Maybe this builds to something.
And again, he's not some young guy. It's not like he was groomed to be a closer all along and he's young like Camber Drosian, who's clearly the Angels closer now. So Hildenberger might not have success, but you know, he got the last save, and it seems like an open competition. We mentioned, obviously, the Angels. You can part with Bud Norris now. He's been awful of late. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how, like, for 4 months you can be good, and then all of a sudden every outing's a bad one. Looks like Camber Drosian's the closer there. Late last night, the Astros solidified their World Series trip by acquiring Tyler Clippard from the White Sox. And so, you know, good for them.
Geez.
I ask you, who gets the next White Sox save? I mean, I bet if we asked, you know, maybe 100 people that listen to this show, and maybe only 100 do, who name a White Sox relief pitcher right now. They couldn't do it, right? I mean, like before the weekend, I bet Kyle had never heard of Juan Manaea.
I know
one
of them.
Probably next, right?
I know one of them because of the cool name, Aaron Bummer. I remember watching him. I think it was a Red Sox game where he made his debut. I can name Greg Infante because I have to keep changing his name in my database from Greg to Gregory. it's crazy. Auditions for White Sox closer. Who's in?
I guess Juan Manaea is probably their closer now, whatever that
Does
means.
Does it matter?
I mean, who owned Clippard anyway?
We should mention. You gave some hints that Clippard mattered because he was the closer, and I remember saying he's awful.
Of course he's awful, and in the end he cost nothing, just like Neil Walker did. But somebody's got to save their games now for the last 6 weeks. That's seven saves or whatever it is. So
ugly situations on ugly teams are not worth it in mixed leagues.
Big series this week. We obviously have to preview the games in the next couple days. Astros Diamondbacks. How about that? That's an interesting matchup there.
Yep.
I wrote about Astros pitchers for Friday's blog and then covered it today. Dallas Keuchel looked good. He's not pitching in this series. But let me ask you, are you back in on Dallas Keuchel, or was that just, you know, one of those days?
I'm not back in, but it makes me feel a little better about the top 40 starter status and that he's going to get the majority of my starts.
These are two teams that score a lot of runs, so I'm not sure you want to rely on any of these pitchers, but I'll run through them. Kyle McHugh and Zach Greinke. Obviously, you're using Greinke, but you shouldn't use McHugh. Brad Peacock and Anthony Banda, the young lefty. Peacock gets his strikeouts, but it's a risky matchup.
I'm intrigued by Peacock because of the Ks, and there are some Ks in that lineup, and he'll have the righty-righty advantage against some of the better options. Lamb's not hitting all that well lately, so it's a little bit less scary of a matchup for the two.
Taiwan Walker and Charlie Morton. Morton is what he is. He'll give up runs, but he'll get his strikeouts along the way. That's a 3.75 ERA guy. And then Patrick Corbin, Mike Fiers. Now, I would have assumed, like, Mike Fiers looked good 3 weeks ago, and now he doesn't. Now you drop him.
Yeah, because he was near that in the first place. We were just simply doing the juice the orange thing. By the way, Eric, since you mentioned those guys there, and I know, like, the sabermetric people will probably kill me for saying this, but there is a reverse platoon tendency in the majority of the righties on the Houston side here. Keep that very much in mind if you're looking at your Diamondbacks bats. It's not all about Peralta and Lamb this week.
Two of the next three nights, the Mets and Yankees are on ESPN, so tune in there if you can. Tonight's matchup, that's pretty. Rafael Montero, who's just terrible, against Luis Sessa. The next night, that's a good one, Jacob DeGrom and Sonny Gray.
Yeah.
Definitely want to see what happens with that one. Wednesday looks like Jaime Garcia and Seth Lugo. I want to see if Dominic Smith, who was called up this weekend, is in the lineup against lefties. It doesn't mean he'll do much against them, but give him a chance to learn how to hit lefties. Conforto's fine against him now. What a ridiculous situation there with the Mets. And then Severino Mats on Thursday. We do have a show Thursday. We can preview it then, but you can't use Mats anymore, I would say.
No.
Other matchups here, Cardinals, Red Sox, Leake and Porcello today. Lance Lynn, Eduardo Rodriguez. Seven straight quality starts for Lance Lynn. How about that?
No love for Rick Porcello?
I don't know what he is. And
he's not on ESPN this week. That's what he's not.
He's a right-hander. Kyle's
happy. Kyle, you're a little too happy for
that. Well,
that
series does start on Tuesday, though, so they've got a weird little Tuesday-Wednesday series.
And,
but yeah,
and we know that everybody on Tuesday is watching ESPN because it is the fantasy marathon for football, right, Kyle? Please tell us about this fantasy marathon, and what will you be doing? Because I'll be in bucolic Bristol, Connecticut for the marathon, but what's your role here?
My role doesn't change. It's to look up numbers as people need it. It's just people kind of need them a little bit more during 28 straight hours of coverage. So I will, I'll be around. I won't be sleeping. So if you need any numbers or anything, the more assignments will keep me awake. But we've got the Fantasy Marathon, as you mentioned, kicks off at 7 p.m. tonight, runs through 11 p.m. tomorrow night. And it's going to be Matthew Berry, Adam Schefter on for the whole thing and going through the whole role of Bristol ESPN talent, so it should be fun.
I'll be sleeping anymore.
Tonight. I believe I'm on air or in a studio, not on air for most of it, but like in a studio from 7 to 11 tonight, and then tomorrow's like all kinds of stuff. Radio.
What are you going to do without coffee?
I'm never going to have a cup of coffee.
You know, by the way, the breaking news of the weekend that we buried the lead on, you've never had gum?
Here, no. What do you care what I've had?
Yeah,
no,
I wasn't sure if that was sarcastic or what that was.
No, I never have.
I will admit, I haven't had gum since, I think, 2002.
There's a big difference.
Now, how would you know that?
Yeah, 2002.
Like, I mean, come on. At least I know I never have had coffee or gum. But you know the year you stopped chewing gum? That's ridiculous. That's more ridiculous.
I remember it.
That sounds like the geeky side of the day, the last time Tristan ate gum.
I mean, come on. That's terrible.
Well, gum, not good for the teeth.
Why do you change your voice? I like it, but, like... All right. Uh-huh. I think it's time we stop right there, and I say this. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. And that's why ZipRecruiter is just different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, more than 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours, and I bet some of them chew gum. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, listeners to this fine show can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel. That's my name, K-A-R-A-B-E-L-L. I don't know why. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel. So, according to Kyle, today's National Creamsicle Day, Tristan. When's the last time you had a creamsicle? 2014? Do you remember the year for that?
Actually,
You don't remember that, huh?
No, I had creamsicle-flavored ice cream, I think it was, about 6 weeks and 2 days ago. And it was about 9:15 at night, too.
I'm going to be doing...
the direction I was standing, too.
Some of the national days you think, okay, yeah, you know, I'll have a cookie on that day, or I'll have a creamsicle on this day. Tuesday is apparently, according to Kyle, National Relaxation Day, but it's the Fantasy Marathon.
Of all days!
I will be doing anything but relaxing on Tuesday.
From 11 p.m. to midnight, I will be taking that holiday into account for sure.
Oh,
are you not going to sleep tonight?
No, I'm up all 28, so that'll be
in studio or like at home, like texting Matthew.
Probably the latter, but you know, if business calls, then I'll be here. I live down the street, so you know.
All right, there you go. All right. There must be questions.
Oh yeah, I mean we got.
There's an important question. I want to know where the gum went when you didn't get it out of the pack and didn't eat it.
I used to give it to my friends. Actually, honestly, I don't know why I never did. It looked disgusting to me in the baseball cards. Of course, I had baseball cards as a child.
Well, they were stuck to the baseball cards. That's the problem. But it was nice of you to give it to your friends.
Yeah. Well, you know, if I see you, you can have the gum in my next pack. Do they even sell gum?
Did you save it in a big baggie for me over these years?
No.
I think you can still get, like, old packs that are still unopened and still have gum in them, but at that point, that gum is older than Kyle.
I mean, would you geniuses chew that gum from a 1980 pack? Come on.
I worked with a guy who did that. I bought a 1981, I think it was, and he ate the gum.
Well, was it 1981?
No, it was a long time after that. Like, let's just say it was at least two decades later.
All right.
Alrighty, circling back onto what you guys were talking earlier, over the last five seasons heading into this year, we had 26 seasons with 40-plus stolen bases, so you're looking at over five a season. Nick wants to know, what are we doing with Jose Barrios? Bench him until he improves or drop him for a guy like Fulton Nevich, Happ, or Davies? Barrios has a 6.28 ERA since July 1st.
Man, that's not very good. Barrios has made 17 starts this year. The overall numbers ERA is creeping higher and higher. But Fulton Nevich is no lock either. Didn't he get pounded in his last outing? And so did Davies, for that matter. Mm-hmm. So basically all three guys this guy mentions. I mean, now you just look at the matchups. Next matchup for Barrios, I believe, is Cleveland.
Yep.
That doesn't sound like much fun. So, no.
Also gets his White Sox out of the way this month, and then in September...
He's admitted, I don't know where I saw it, but he's admitted, I think, fatigue.
See, yeah, I mean, and the innings total doesn't suggest there should be an innings cap here, but if he's saying that...
I thought I saw it. I don't want to mislead people, but then again, I mean, he has one quality start in his last four outings. He didn't have any strikeouts against Detroit over the weekend in 3 1/3. That's telling. You know, I didn't see any reports about, like, fastball velocity down or anything like that or injury. I just think he might be tired. And the Twins, you know, might want to skip him. That's a guy I could see shut down within 4 weeks.
Also, the final 3 weeks schedule for the Twins is not especially good. So there's going to be a time coming you don't want him anyway.
You know, what I think is happening, though, with some of these teams, like, they don't have other options. Like, I think we're going to see in mid-September, like, people that should be shut down, but their teams can't do it. Because they don't have...
It's the Reds from last year, where they said, we want to shut everyone down, and they had nobody to fill in.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen with some teams. I think the Mets are a good example of that. I mean, this Flexen kid came up from Double-A. He's been terrible. He was fine against the Phillies, but he won't be against normal offenses. You know, the Phillies at some point might want to shut down Pivetta, and they, you know, who are they going to put in there? Adam Morgan from their bullpen?
They have guys, though. They're not as
They don't
as
have
guys.
A lot of guys. The Phillies have two guys in the minors right now on the 40-man who they can bring up for September.
You're
and I was looking at it recently.
The Blue Jays are in a really rough spot.
And good for that. Who was the Blue Jay who had his first major league start?
Chris Rowley.
And he was in the Marines or something? Or
he was an Army grad, wasn't
Army,
he?
Army, yeah, like West Point. That's it. And he pitched really well, and I love seeing stuff like that. What a great story that is. Now,
great story.
Him to your fantasy team, but I mean, like, it's good. And, you know, anyway, yes.
Another great story, Chad Bettis returned today.
Exactly. Now, don't use him in your fantasy league today. It's at Coors Field. But Chad Bettis overcoming something really important here. We should all root for anybody who comes back from cancer. You won. You beat it. You know, whether you give up five runs tonight or one is irrelevant to me. I just want to – I'm so glad that Chad Bettis is back. And good to see Chris Rowley as well. Anyway, that has nothing to do with the question, so.
No, but he also did have J.A. Happ on that. He's been pitching better, only 3 earned runs in August. Would you prefer him to Barrios?
I would prefer J. Happ, yes. It's J. Happ, yes.
J-Happ. I agree.
My apologies for the Happ family.
And now he's gonna win like less than half of as many games as he did last year, but still help people the final 2 months, right? Didn't he win like 21 last year? Happ?
Yeah, he certainly did. He also has a tricky September schedule, but he's going to pitch through it.
You know, you talk about September schedules, and I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but like some of the offenses that Jay Happ and Jose Barrios are going to face are not going to be the offenses that they look like now. Some of these non-contenders will go to other players. Some of these contenders will sit at guys. I mean, we say Washington's scoring all these runs, but I bet Murphy misses like two games, three games a week in September. Harper's not playing at all in September. They'll start to risk, you know, sit Rendon once in a while. You know, Houston might do some things with their prospects. You know, Fisher might just play every day in September, so Reddick can be rested. He's older. Beltran may not play at all. Correa's not being rushed back. I mean, we say, yes, tough matchups. I mean, Coors is tough. Houston's tough at Texas. But I can't make moves in August based on September schedules. Can you? Do you do that?
I don't, but remember what's at the top of my rankings head-to-head. In head-to-head, it does have a little bit of a bearing because you're in those 4 weeks of playoffs. And in Happ's case, the only difference between, Eric, what you just said there is that they face teams that are very unlikely to change, Red Sox, Yankees, Royals. They're going to be contending, playing important games.
Fair enough.
Otherwise, I don't make any moves. No, based on September.
How many leagues you still have that are relevant?
Too many.
Oh, you do?
Too many, fortunately and unfortunately. I think it's 6 or 7.
So you still can win Tout and Labor?
I had Harper, so Tout's probably over.
You had Harper, wow.
Well, yeah, that's what I was explaining. I can cut him and recapture the fab, right. And I might have to do that because it's the only shot. I mean, it's a teens gap between first and second. Guy who's winning is running away, has been running away with it all year. He's had an amazing year.
So is Kyle. What else you got, Kyle?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Eric. LW wants to know where Justin Smoke ranks for next season, having a heck of a breakout year.
Sure is. And while a lot of the first basemen that were surprises this year have calmed down, you know, Lomo and Eric Thames and Zimmerman to some degree, Smoke has not slowed down. Smoke is currently the number 7 first base eligible in the player rater, but that includes Murphy and Shaw, who are really not first basemen. So Goldschmidt, Votto, Bellinger, and Zimmerman are the only real first basemen ahead of him. He's got to be top 10, right? I mean, like, so we would say we would take Freeman over him and Rizzo over him for next year. What about Jose Abreu over Smoke? I don't know.
Bellinger would be ahead of him.
Right, but I mean, of other guys who I didn't mention.
Right. Abreu's, Abreu's.
That's pretty close.
Wow, I mean, and it's amazing how much we're crediting Smoke. By the way, 41 points greater of weighted on base average since the All-Star break compared to before it. So as you said, he's actually gotten better. He had that elite prospect status many years back, and he made a key
all of a sudden
adjustment.
Clicked. I mean, this year, top five first baseman Goldschmidt, Rizzo, Miguel Cabrera, Edwin, and Votto. Then Freeman and Abreu, and then kind of a big tier off, Myers, Will Myers, Hanley, Chris Davis. So that was the tier. The top 7 first basemen in ADP. Is Smoke getting into that group? Is he beating out any of those guys?
Will Myers is the interesting price point. Is Smoke ahead of Will Myers? I feel like those guys belong hand in hand.
Myers is not going to steal 30 bases. He's at only 11, and the batting average is down to 239. And that seems like an all-or-nothing guy. He'll either have a great year and go for 30-30, or he'll do this and be, you know, barely ownable.
He's going to be. Do you not think he's going to be one of the toughest players to rank?
I do.
I feel like he should end up about 8th at first base for next year.
I don't think he'll be in my top 10. I mean, Miguel Cabrera is not going to be in my top 5 first baseman. My top 5 first baseman would be Goldschmidt,
Freeman,
Rizzo, or Bellinger. I'm thinking which one I'd rather have, but they'll both be there. Votto will be there.
Yep.
That's my top 5. Then Edwin is certainly close. Abreu is going to be close. Smoke. I'm trying to think, is anybody else? Hosmer has to be pretty close.
Santana, Shaw.
Well, Shaw Zimmerman. Third base. I'm thinking him and Murphy as their other
positions. Yeah, Shaw probably wouldn't get the eligibility, yeah.
So I don't know if Myers makes my top 10. And where does...
Myers doesn't, but there's Smoke.
Yeah. Smoke's in.
It's amazing that
we've
given
him this credit. Cabrera is going to be the old... And I know we talked about it last week, so we don't have to keep going over it, but like Miguel Cabrera, if he continues and finishes up at 260 with 15 home runs, I don't know if I can put him above Abreu and Smoke.
Cabrera will also turn 35 midway
it's
through
like
the
looking
first
at Pujols.
Month next year.
Who wants to deal with Pujols?
Well, Pujols was pretty useful at 35, but he wasn't what Cabrera was being drafted at.
Pujols was useful last year, and this year he's not. And nobody's going to project good numbers for Pujols next year. I'm not saying Cabrera's there yet. He still takes walks, still can hit for average. He's clearly just injured. That's why he's playing like this. And Detroit's going to shut him down. They have to.
I'm not so sure they're shutting
him down on September 3rd and putting Candelario at first base. That's what
I'm
I think
not
is
so
happen.
I don't think he'd. I think he'll want to play. I don't think he'll want to get shut down on September 3rd.
I think people like that say if we're still you know all the way under 500 on September 3rd, then that you know I'm just picking a day. Then it's like all right, we're out of it now. He can't shut down now because they still have a shot technically. If they just you know do a Baltimore and run off like 8 out of 10, the Tigers are back in it. But they're like 10 games under 500. Now, all it takes is 500 and you're in contention. But if Detroit is still 10 games under 500 in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, yeah. I see Cabrera getting shut down.
So we're Smoke over Cabrera next year?
No, I can't do that yet, but it's going to be close. Smoke, Cabrera, and Abreu is like a tier. That feels like a T-I-E-R for me for next year's drafts in like round 5.
I appreciate the spelling.
Does that sound ridiculous? That Cabrera is going to be all the way down into like that tier with
Abreu?
But
I also think Myers might be in that tier,
too.
I think he is, too.
All right.
Safe to say if Cabrera's in that tier, he goes one direction or the other, either way overachieves or disappoints. Like, it's hard to see him returning fifth-round value.
He either does a Ryan Zimmerman or he does a Pujols, and it's over.
Exactly.
Pujols did a 40 homers in the age 35 year.
Yeah, but it was not a great year for him.
It was a flawed year.
It was a flawed year. Couldn't hit for average. Watching him run was painful. Like, you knew Pujols was not going to do that this year.
And Cabrera has had the injuries that there are a lot of parallels. Yeah. I'm talking myself out of Cabrera next year.
Well, a week ago you weren't. You were like, I don't even remember.
Well, where do
the
you
bet.
Have him now? Where do you have him in your ranks right now?
I don't know. I haven't even updated him recently. But like,
off
I think
the top of your head.
He's not top 50. He shouldn't be top 50.
And I agree with that. He is not in my top 50.
Is he top 100? He's probably still in my top 100, but he keeps dropping. There's nothing happening. Like, how can you not use Josh Bell over him at this point? All right.
Well, I'm not going that far.
I know you're not, but in 3 weeks you will be.
Happy birthday, Josh Bell.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday. We're not playing the song for him.
No, he...
Nope. Sorry.
We can't confirm that he listens to the podcast, so no song for
I'm
him.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't. I bet there's no baseball players.
We can't confirm it one way or the other. So, yeah.
Neither confirm nor deny.
Exactly. Aaron wants to know, in Dynasty Leagues, Sean Manea or Luis Castillo, both struggling right now, but both promising young prospects to look at.
You're butchering like every
I know,
other
I'm struggling here. I don't know why.
First of all, it's a dynasty.
Okay? Yes, D-I-N-N-I-A.
You believe that?
I
said dynasty,
that episode last night blew my mind. Game of
Thrones
keeps getting better. No, I'm not going to spoil it. And you don't even watch it, so why do you care?
Because in 14 years, when I watched that episode, I don't want it spoiled for me.
And return to chewing gum. But like, Manea versus Luis Castillo is actually kind of interesting because I've watched a bunch of Luis Castillo's outings, so they have him on an important team or two, and he looks like he's going to be good soon. Like, that's a strikeout guy. He still walks people, and he hasn't won games, but he's also he faced Colorado and Washington. Like, the lineups that Castillo has had to face has been rough. Now, Manea is a guy I really like, too, but recently Manea has been awful. That weekend outing, he didn't get out of the first inning against Baltimore. Three straight outings of six runs. That's not cool. Wait, wow, look at the strikeouts, Tristan.
Yeah.
He has 0-1-1 strikeout in his last three outings. Now, it's a total of only 6 2/3.
I was going to say, when you go a third of an inning, it's hard to strike out too many batters.
But that looks like an injury. That's got to be an injury, right?
And he has had the injury so far this year. Two trips to the DL?
Yeah, I would move on from him. I would use Luis Castillo the rest of the year, and I think I'm actually going to stick with Castillo next year.
They're similar in the way they pitch, but Castillo throws harder. Slider change is really their strengths. I think Castillo is overperformed. Manea is severely underperformed.
Why is Castillo overperformed? He's good.
He's not the kind of guy who misses bats like Manea has in the minors. They're not the same. Manea is definitively better at missing bats, but do we trust he rebounds to that level?
I think Castillo next year becomes a 180-inning guy with like 165, 170 strikeouts, ERA like where it is now, 375, something like that. I mean, I think he's an emerging guy. I mean, I'm thinking of him like I do Fulton Nevich. He's not going to be a top 40 guy, but that's a guy you round out a rotation with. I think I'm trusting Castillo over Manea now.
What I want to look at is the two-strike data, and I haven't done enough of that. So, but
you
you're right.
You should get on that.
Well, no, I mean, those are the kinds of things I do look at during the offseason, is that there's something that has changed with this guy. He doesn't have great control, but he's missing a lot more bats than he did in the higher minor league levels.
All right, the music stopped, which is my cue to say stop the show. But before I do that, fantasy football season is obviously here, folks. On behalf of ESPN, we're here to make sure you know the difference between bad fantasy and good fantasy. Bad fantasy is drafting a kicker or a defense too soon. Good fantasy is going into the season with the best tools and analysis you need to draft the best teams. Bad fantasy is leaving your best player in the starting lineup when he has a bye week. Good fantasy is having alerts from the fantasy app, and Matthew Berry is your personal consultant.
I wish I was a man like you. I am a girly boy.
Is that taped or is he actually there?
You'll never know. Oh, you'll know soon when you're here.
I know because he would have replied to that. Play the number one fantasy football game on the number one fantasy app because good fantasy is better than bad fantasy. ESPN Fantasy Football. Sign up now at ESPN.com/goodfantasy. And as Kyle the Monster mentioned earlier, lots of fantasy on ESPN, not just television, but online, on radio. Their podcast is award-winning. It's every day during the week, Monday through Friday. And Stefania's there in Field Yates and Kyle and Mike Clay. So you got to listen to that if you want to do well in your leagues. And the next 48 hours are going to be very interesting for the ESPN Fantasy Football group. But I believe we will have a show for baseball on Thursday if we all recover. Right? Is that right, Kyle? Is that
the
schedule?
It. Yeah, Thursday. Look forward to it. Hashtag 06010MLB if you want your question answered then. We will not be answering football questions. Get those in over the next 28 hours here. But Anything baseball, bring it on for Thursday.
So what's who shall wake us from our slumber?
What's the process to get a fantasy football question answered on that show?
The process is pretty similar. You just switch the hashtag a little bit to 06010NFL. I know we try not to make it too hard on the people. We don't do as many questions there as we do here, though.
Why would that be?
Because there's too many, and at this point in off-season football, I mean, how many – you shouldn't be drafting now. Like, let's wait another 2.5 weeks.
Isn't today mock draft Monday? Isn't everybody drafting today,
Kyle?
Well,
yeah, mock draft Mondays, but who's asking questions for a mock?
Oh, you'd be surprised. There are lots
draft,
of questions from mocks.
Wait until you have Ezekiel.
I had a very in-depth conversation about 70s rock music in my mock draft last week in one of my mocks.
I can confirm I was not a part of that conversation.
We talked about like Genesis and Rush and all kinds of bands that Tristan loves. We're done for today's
and
show.
And then they balanced against me and asked the same question because of that. Great.
We're done for today. Please watch on ESPN not only the Fantasy Football Marathon, but there is baseball on Monday and on Wednesday. It's Mets and Yankees, teams going in different directions. For Tristan and Kyle and Mike and Leo and Chad Bettis and Chris Rally, good luck to them. I'm Eric Caraba. Please have an awesome next couple of days. Everything is awesome.
Darkness, but no sleep.